Hello, and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
You're not?
No. You know this, but he is my favorite conservative.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's very nice. That's very nice. Well, another humdinger of a week, if I may say.
How old are you that you're using the word humdinger?
It's a classic word.
No, it is not. It's definitely it has been anything but dull or boring. I mean, in past years, the time between conventions, there's been no news. People are on vacation. No longer. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, so we start each show until the election with the latest polling. Now, we were not live last week because Edward was out of town. So we gave you an encore of an episode from a previous season. So let's get to it for this week where we are, because things have changed.
Yeah, and I think this will actually be a pretty good indication, because we're going to look at 2 weeks ago and we're going to look at today. And this is where Kamala's numbers are really coming into view a lot clearer.
So in the Real Clear Politics, the RCP national average, Trump versus Harris, 2 weeks ago, Trump was up 1.7. Now, Harris is up 0.5. I would argue both of those numbers are well within the margin of error, but we are definitely seeing a pattern.
Yeah, for sure. And let's look back in history. On this day in history, let's look at 2016 and 2020.
Okay.
So in 2020, Biden had a 7.2 lead over Trump.
Okay, so Harris has got some catching up to do.
Yeah,
essentially.
So Trump's been in a better position for sure. But in 2016, now if you remember 2 weeks ago when we talked about this, Donald Trump was actually up like 0.6 or 7%, something like that.
The only time he was ahead.
The only time he's ever been ahead. And go 2 weeks later, Clinton was actually now up 6.9. So it was a very quick reversal.
Yes. Let's talk about the battleground states, as we always do. So you want me to take the East Coast?
Let's do it.
All right. So, and again, these numbers are from 2 weeks ago versus today?
Correct.
Okay. So Pennsylvania, Trump, 2 weeks ago was up 4.5. Now he is only up 0.8.
Ouch.
Again, well within the margin of error, but still. North Carolina, 2 weeks ago, Trump was up 5.7. He's still up, but only 3.2. We're seeing a pattern, people. And 2 weeks ago, Trump was up 4.0. He is still ahead, but by 0.6.
In Georgia. In Georgia. He was up 4. Now he's up basically a little over a half a point.
Yeah. So the battleground states, if you're Republican and you wanted to see Trump get reelected, are trending in the wrong direction.
For him, yes.
For him. Take us to the Midwest.
Let's go to Michigan, shall we? 2 weeks ago, Trump was up 2.1. He is now up 2.4, so he's actually picked up a little bit of ground there.
Yes. Can I interrupt?
Please do.
I'm going to. I really do think he's going to get Michigan. I don't know. It's just, I feel like he's going to get Michigan, but continue.
Okay. Let's go to the neighbor, Wisconsin.
Yes.
2 weeks ago, Trump was up 3.3. He is now up 0.8.
And that's a state I don't think he's going to win. I never have thought he was going to win.
Okay.
He
won it in 2016, but it was by the
barely skin
of his teeth.
And
it normally is a Democrat stronghold.
All right. Take us out west.
Let's go out west to Nevada, where Kamala is campaigning very hard right now.
Okay.
2 weeks ago in Nevada, Trump was up 5.6. He is now up 3.7. Still a good margin there.
It is.
And in Arizona, 2 weeks ago, Trump was up 5.8. He's now up 1.5. So that's the trend is not your friend right now, Mr. Trump.
Okay, now I think that might be the
that's an old financial saying.
Is it the trend is not your friend?
Yes.
Okay. And on my favorite gambling website, predictit.org, not that I'm endorsing gambling, but it is fun. This is where people actually bet on political races in the U.S. It is completely flipped. Now, these are not percentages. This is actual money, how people are betting, but you can think of them as percentages.
Yeah.
So Harris is now at 58, and I'm just going to use the number again because it gets confusing, and Trump is at 44. That's a complete flip from 2 weeks ago.
It is.
But tell people why you think it is, because you're a finance guy.
Well, because when your people are betting like this, these bets are not on the final outcome.
Exactly.
These bets are very short term. So if the numbers move in the bettor's favor, they'll get out of their position very quickly, take that gain and move on.
Yeah.
So they're not actually betting the full long term. What do we say? 3 months?
That's what your estimate is.
Correct.
Yeah. You think these are sort of short hedges.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. I can't believe I got that terminology right.
Very good.
I know, right? I've been hanging out with you way too long.
You're welcome.
All right. So what is our show going
to
be about
today? All right. We have to do it. Last week, Kamala Harris chose her vice presidential running mate. And to the surprise of
everyone.
I think even Tim Walz, she did choose the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz. What in the world was that all about?
She shocked everyone, including us. If you remember 2 weeks ago, I predicted she would pick Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. And you thought she was going to pick Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona.
Yeah.
And we were wrong.
I mean, I thought she needed like the testosterone of a Mark Kelly.
And I thought she needed Pennsylvania. Right? She needs Pennsylvania to win. So,
I mean, to me and to a lot of people, this pick makes no sense. I mean, Minnesota has not voted Republican since Nixon in 1972.
The year I was born.
Yeah. So let's dissect this a little bit, shall we?
Okay, let's do it.
Let's get to the basics. Pennsylvania has 19 electoral college votes.
Minnesota only has 10.
Yes. And she, Kamala Harris, must win Pennsylvania to have a path to 270.
And Trump could actually lose Pennsylvania and still get to 270.
Yeah. He has many more paths to it.
Yeah.
The problem with Shapiro is he's a very popular governor.
Yes.
59% approval rating.
Yeah, he is.
That's pretty darn good. But was she afraid that Shapiro would outshine her and not really be a number two, but kind of a number 1A on the ticket?
Well, and he has been rumored to be a political climber at big yeah. time. And so I think that's a real possibility that she was afraid that he would outshine her. But it could also be that, a lot of people are saying this. It could also be that she wanted the Palestinian vote and did not want to pick someone who was Jewish.
But are you turning off more Jews than picking up Palestinian
or Muslim
votes?
I don't know. Let's talk about her pick.
Okay.
Walz, W-A-L-Z, but pronounced Walz as in walls in your house. Let's talk about his incredible record in the state of Minnesota.
Well, first off, I just love how the media is portraying him as this, gun-toting, camouflage-wearing, just everyday dad who's a football coach.
Oh, my God. I know.
How about we actually look at some policies?
Yes.
Where would you like to start?
Well, let's go with your first bullet point. I'm going to let you do it. I'll do it and you do the next one. Okay. So if you listen to all the recordings, they've all come out. So Walz is well-known for letting Minneapolis burn for 3 days during the George Floyd riots in 2020. The mayor of Minneapolis was begging Walz to bring in the National Guard, begging him. Now, there have been clipped conversations where Donald Trump said that Walz did a great job, but if you hear the full recording, essentially what Trump says, you finally called in the Guard, now you did a great job. I mean, Trump is sort of reprimanding him for not doing it much sooner. And as someone who lived through the LA riots in Los Angeles at USC, right in the middle of the riots, the National Guard was called in to surround our campus within 24 hours.
Yeah, the Harris campaign tried to clip the soundbite. So it was.
Yeah.
So Trump was on the phone with Tim Walz.
Yes.
Also on the call, I believe, was the Secretary of Defense and a bunch of other high ranking cabinet members. And Trump is telling Walz, you have to show strength. That's the only thing that you have to do here. You have to be strong or they will not respect you. And he diddled for 3 days, right? Or fiddled, if you want to do thing,
yeah.
while Minneapolis burned. And finally, he succumbed to it, if that's the proper term. And brought in the National Guard, and the conversation was Trump was very excited. Hey, I support what you did with the National Guard, not I support your first 3 days.
Yeah.
And so Harris tried to make it look like Trump supported him from the beginning. He did not.
Okay, let's talk about Wall's military service, because they definitely are comparing him to the Republican VP pick, J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
So Wall served in the National Guard for over 20 years.
Yeah.
But why don't you tell the audience there's a little controversy over his service?
Well, yeah. So Tim Walz, again, served for 24 years, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And in 2001, he re-upped for another 6 years.
Yeah,
was it?
Six, yeah. Yeah.
So that would take you to 2007.
After 9/11.
After 9/11.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
he did. So he thought, okay, I got to get him. Now, mind you, he is the commanding staff sergeant. I forget what the actual, but he was in charge of this unit.
Yes, he was.
Of hundreds of young men and training them.
Who trusted him.
Getting them ready, because we're now on a war footing.
Yeah.
And it turns out that a couple of years later, in 2004, they get their deployment notices that his unit is going to be deploying to Iraq.
Right.
He gets sent to Italy for a little bit, which is not in a battle war zone.
Right.
And then he decides, I'm going to run for Congress, and retires.
Yes.
Which is, to these young men and women who were serving, is just a kick in the teeth.
And some of those people are coming out and speaking about this.
They are.
This.
In fact, yes. I heard the unit chaplain, who was one of his good close associates, Tim Walz's close associates, called him a coward today.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, those are pretty strong words coming from a chaplain, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But when you decide, after getting all these young people ready for actual combat, to bow out and go to Congress... To me, and for many veterans, I did not serve right up front, but it's unforgivable for what these veterans are saying now, and they're really coming out strong.
Yes, and I come from a family of veterans, so
you do?
Yes, but I did not serve either. So yeah. It's such an odd pick.
It is. It makes no sense, but it kind of makes sense when you look at Kamala, because she really never makes decisions on anything, right? So do you expect her to get something right?
I don't know.
I have very low expectations.
But still, don't you think this pick surprised everyone?
It does. And it kind of brings me to this whole point where we are right now, where something just feels off. As
right.
a Trump supporter, which I am, a conservative.
Independent here.
Independent right here, yes. So, but something just seems off. It's the media has just fallen in line with this new Kamala. Right. I mean, the thing with Kamala is she has no core values except for abortion. Right. That's the only real core value you've ever heard her talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. That she's actually stuck with.
Yes.
You know, she's flip flopped on so many other issues. But this is why she doesn't do policy.
She hates reading her
policy books that her staff puts together for her.
Her briefs. Yes.
So if you don't have core values and you don't understand policy, it makes you a really bad speaker, because you can't just wing it off the cuff. Like Trump can do an hour and a half without looking at a teleprompter.
Just like Clinton could.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bill, not Hillary, yeah. But yes.
Obama, on the other hand, needed his prompter hauled around for him.
Yes, but he was still a much better speaker than Kamala Harris.
I could read the teleprompter.
My God.
But the point being is that she just doesn't have a base to be able to speak clearly and coherently about actual issues, and it's just stupid little sound bites that she speaks in.
And they're salads. They're word salads. So they're not even good sound bites.
Yes, yes.
Why don't you give us this next line, which I know you didn't make this up. You heard this from several people, but I think it totally hones in on the problem with Kamala.
It does. Kamala has the likability of Hillary and the intelligence of Biden.
Right?
That sums it up pretty well, I think.
Yeah, and she went from the lowest VP approval rating in history, since they've been keeping track of that, to like the second coming of the Democratic Party. And if you ever watch the HBO show Veep, which Edward has not yet, right. But I have, I mean, Selena Myers is a freaking genius compared to Kamala Harris. Like,
shit,
no,
that's the Veep, right?
That's Veep, okay. Yeah. Nobody thought Veep would actually come true. It's kind of like HBO predicted the future, only it's worse.
But it's sad that it's in real life now.
Yes. So how do we explain, and, you know, and we welcome any comments. We see you watching live. Feel free to comment. I believe you can comment on, I think we'll see it definitely on YouTube and LinkedIn for sure, maybe Rumble. But please feel free to comment live. How do you explain the polls tightening so quickly?
Boy, that's a great question.
I know, I set it up.
It is. I just wonder, in my reaction to all of this has been, when she went and picked Tim Walz, is the fix in?
Okay.
What I mean by that is, do the Democrats already have their cheating machine, air quotes, in place and ready to go? And
see, to me, that's so cynical, but I know what you mean.
It is, but there were so many irregularities in the 2020 election that you just can't ignore them.
Okay.
So are they willing to say, Kamala, you know, let's just go full blown leftist, take Tim Walz, and we've got you. No worries. We'll get you over the finish line.
Right.
You know, with Biden, he was doing so poorly, so bad.
After that debate.
That debate, the polls went off the cliff.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, they realized that we've got this great cheating machine in place, but nobody is going to believe an outcome, because they were afraid by the time the election rolled around that Trump would have a 10-point lead.
Yes.
And you can't cheat your way out of something like that. Right. It's got to be close. It has to be a viable story.
Okay.
And Biden was no longer viable. He was no longer
So the weekend at Bernie's wasn't working anymore.
It wasn't. You can't hide him enough, because everybody saw with their own eyes, like, good Lord, what happened on stage, right? So they needed to keep the race within the margin to cheat.
Okay.
And that's why they brought on Kamala, because the press will now say that the reason Kamala won is because she's Americans love first. They wanted to put a woman and they wanted to put a woman of color first. And that would justify their cheating, or it would give them cover for their cheating.
Well, and it's a warm body other than Biden's.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, they couldn't pass over Harris because you can't diss the black woman, right?
Because of the money.
The money was still tied to the Biden-Harris campaign, which they didn't want to give up.
Right. So I know you have something else you want to talk about that's a little bit interesting.
Yeah. So I was down in Florida this past week, and Andrea and I both had a couple of conversations with different people that I think were fascinating.
Yes. So they are both women in their 50s. One is an avowed progressive. Is that how she describes herself? Is that how you describe her?
I don't think she would shy away from that.
Okay.
At all.
the other is a staunch conservative. And we just found it really interesting how different our conversations were with these two respective people who we are not going to name.
Yeah, won't name it, but that's right. I was down in Florida last week, and I met with a friend who I've known for over 30 years. Yeah. And we've been through, you know, marriages and divorces and kids and every other thing you could have. So we know each other really well. So you mentioned she's in her early 50s. She's a white female who lives on MSNBC and absorbs all the usual left-wing websites, that sort of thing.
And very little else.
From what I gather, correct.
Yeah.
Yes. But she hates Trump with a passion. Well, I'm talking, you know, a million suns worth of laser beams, if you will, right? So, but when we first got together, I said, and I love this question, and I said, without mentioning gender, race, or Trump, tell me why you're voting for Kamala Harris.
Now, may I interject here?
Please do.
We would love to hear from someone who falls into that category. We would absolutely love, you can reach us through our website, which is scrolling at the bottom right now, myfavoriteconservative.show, contact us. But I would love to hear from someone, again, without mentioning gender, race, or Trump, tell us why you would vote for Kamala. So tell us what your friend said.
Well, it's funny because I've asked other people and they get about 10 seconds into the conversation and Trump comes up and it's like,
Yeah.
Stop. You can't do that.
But what did she say?
She actually said, okay. And she said, she stood back. She went, okay. Well, all right. She's an attorney. And she was the Attorney General of California, which makes her a prosecutor and tough on crime. And she's the vice president. And I was waiting for more, but I didn't. And there was no judgment. I just said, okay, well, thank you for that. That's illuminating.
Okay.
But if, you know, how many attorneys are in Congress or in the Senate, right? Or whatever.
Anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, so I just, to me, there's nothing to point to of accomplishments. And nobody on the left can point to any accomplishments that she's done. But,
well, tell us what else she said.
Well, I asked her, I said, well, you know, 3 weeks ago, now mind you, this was right before Kamala, this was last weekend, so before Kamala had named Tim Walz as her running mate. And so we're just a couple of weeks out from the poll numbers that had come out. And so I said, you know, previously when Biden was still in the race, Kamala's poll number, she was at like 28% job approval rating, the lowest in history. I said, you know, Dick Cheney had higher numbers and he shot a guy in the face.
And he was
right?
Hated.
Yeah. Oh, he was like Darth Vader, right? Yes. He was everything, right? The worst person. And she responded that her poll numbers were only low. Kamala's were only so low was because Biden was dragging her down.
Okay.
I went, okay. I mean, there could be a little something in there because obviously if you're not happy with the top of the ticket, you're certainly not happy with the bottom of the ticket. But then I said, all right, I got to ask you, I haven't seen you since the debate. We haven't spoken. I said, what was your reaction when you saw Biden just like lose it?
Right.
And she started to talk a little bit and she said, I don't think you understand that I would vote for Joe Biden if his head was in a jar of formaldehyde. Okay.
and to be fair, Bill Maher has said something similar. He said, I would vote for the Democratic nominee, whoever it is, with, you know, and dunk my head into the blue Kool-Aid. Like he said that. So I
give her credit for admitting this Trump derangement syndrome is off the charts.
Well, she didn't call it that.
Well, no, but that's. Yes. My medical diagnosis. So anyway, I will give her credit because then we started talking about vice presidential picks.
Okay.
And I said, well, it's either going to be Shapiro or Kelly, kind of went in that. She says, I really want Tim Walz. I said, the guy from Minnesota? She's like, yes, he would be perfect.
She nailed it.
And I said, I'm thinking to myself, that's insane. You know, we went in, she doesn't need Minnesota. She needs Pennsylvania. Yeah, she needs Arizona. You were right. Got to give you credit for that one.
Yes.
So a couple other things we talked about, I said, you know, does it disturb you? Let's look at like COVID. Mm-hmm. Because we were talking about the media and I said, does it really disturb you that everything that the media and the medical community told you about COVID was wrong?
Yeah.
Was absolutely 100%.
Because the truth has come out.
Yeah, absolutely. And she said, well, you know, we didn't really know much about it. Well, yes, we did. And everything that's coming out now shows that they knew it early and they hid it. But she only drinks the Kool-Aid, if you will, from whatever the mainstream left-wing media is telling her. And it's just, to me, it's just sad that there's no questioning on it whatsoever when so much evidence is out there.
But, and it got pretty heated here.
Well, you know,
she
can't understand why I am so anti-trans in schools.
And by schools, you mean elementary schools.
Storybook hour, whatever,
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
Children,
yes. Leave the kids alone. I've always said you can chop off whatever body parts you want when you become an adult. You can do whatever, but leave the kids out of it.
Now, I want you to say this next part. What did she think you'd done?
Well, and she was very sincere. And she said, you know, she said, Edward, you know, I love you because I've known you for so long. I've got some other people in my life that I really love. And they're Trump supporters. And I just feel so bad. I think that you've sold your soul to the devil for supporting this guy. And, you know, to me, I'm thinking, and I think I even said it, it's if I had to wait for a politician that was virtuous and whatever, I'd never vote for anybody, right? I mean, did Trump
but
have
she believes some something pretty.
Well, then, yeah, and she went down a rabbit hole
that
Trump raped a 13-year-old girl with Jeffrey Epstein, and she can't believe that I haven't heard about it. And I said, are you telling me that for the last 8 years, if Trump was accused of doing this, it wouldn't be front page everywhere,
right, exactly,
all the time?
Yeah.
And yeah, I asked her, had you heard about Biden and Tara Reid, that he sexually assaulted his own staffer in the halls of the Senate, and really hadn't heard about that. So it was just kind of a really interesting insight to the mind of a middle-aged white liberal woman that is a big voting block out there.
And who only watches one side of the aisle in terms of media, who only listens and watches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think, you know, Fox is permanently banned off of her. And mind you, I haven't watched Fox in ever since Tucker Carlson left.
I know. I haven't watched Fox at all.
But yeah. So anyway, I just kind of found it fascinating. And the juxtaposition with what you went through.
Yeah. So I met with one of my closest friends this weekend, who's a conservative Christian, much like you. She happens to be a Black woman. And we hope to have her as a guest on our show in the future. And she's very, very tuned in to politics.
Yeah.
And so I was asking her about Kamala Harris because, and I said this to her face and she laughed and she said, yeah, of course. I said, do other people assume that you will vote for Kamala Harris because you're Black and she's Black? And she goes, oh yeah. And she just laughed, you know, but here were some of her thoughts. So, and I, you know, I'm not quoting perfectly, but paraphrasing, but one of her thoughts was the Democrats felt they just could not, as Edward said earlier, pass Harris over, and that they know they're going to lose. So what they're focusing on, so they don't really care about her VP pick. They're focusing on finding and preparing the next candidate for 2028 and shoring up the Senate and House to ensure majorities in Congress. So that way, should Trump be elected, he can't do anything for 4 years. It'll be nearly impossible for him to get anything done.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest fears, is that people decide they'll vote for Trump, but they want to offset their vote with a Democrat for House or Senate, and you end up can get nothing done, right?
I don't know anybody who would be like that.
Well, that's what some of the polls are showing, that even if people are voting for Trump, that Democrat Senate or House candidate is still way up in the polls there.
Well, I disagree. Yeah. I think most people vote down ticket. I really do. I'm not one of them, but I think most people do. Her other thought, and I thought this was fascinating because, like I said, she works in this space and she has some intel that we aren't privy to. She thinks there might be a contested, also known as a brokered, Democratic convention because Pelosi and Obama already have another candidate in mind. So they're just letting Harris ride this wave, get the polls up, get the Democrat, you know, voter enthusiasm up, and then they're going to get her out at the convention, which, oh my God, that would be more exciting than the Olympics.
Let me comment on that, because I just cannot see that happening, that they seem to have thrown all in for Kamala.
Well, we'll see.
I mean,
the convention's coming up in a week.
Yeah, it's next week.
Yeah.
So unless she completely tanks this week, and she's not going to do an interview.
No,
right?
Of course not.
So the chances for her to completely tank are pretty slim.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you would replace somebody.
Yes.
At a convention when you basically put everything behind her already. So.
Yes. And the other thing she told me, and again, this is what she said, she said, you know, many other Black and African Americans do not consider Kamala to be a Black woman. And so my friend told me something I didn't know, that Kamala's father is half Jamaican. He's also half Irish. So his parents' names were Oscar Joseph Harris, the father, but the maiden name was of the mother, so Kamala's grandmother, was Beryl Finnegan.
Hey, Finnegan's, yeah.
Finnegan.
Hey.
And when I was looking into this, just to make sure I have my stats, it's very interesting. There's a media outlet called the Irish Echo, and they were the only publication, just a little tidbit, in 2020, that pointed out that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris both shared the family name of Finnegan. So if you go way back,
they're like distant kissing cousins.
They might be related. Yeah. Like if you go way back in the family tree.
That's
so
funny.
However, I did ask her about this, you know, this idea that you have about is the fix in, and she said, well, Democrats know how to cheat. And they, and she said, and they do it better than she said, the Republicans need to get it together because the, because the Democrats do know how to get boots on the ground and cheat. So that's what she said.
Okay. Well, that's quite interesting. I mean, so what did we learn, right, from these two? We've got two educated, yep, middle-aged women. One's a Black conservative, the other's a white liberal.
Right.
And you know, I think we did a whole show on white women, white liberal women are destroying this country. I think we did.
I think you, but, you wanted to do that show. Yeah. We did. Yes, we did. I think what we learned is that you believe what you see, right? And what you consume. And you have to choose, you as an individual, and this is my opinion, you have to choose to look at the other side. You have to choose to watch different outlets. And my friend, because she's in this space, she watches all of it. She's,
when you say this space, you're talking political.
Yeah, she's in the political because she works in politics. She doesn't just consume, let's use Fox as the default, but she looks at everything, CNN, MSNBC, you know, she looks at all the media across the board. And you know, and then of course, all the different podcasters that are out there. And I think that you really, if you want to see the full picture, you have to be willing to do that.
Yeah.
So, and what did you learn?
Well, yeah. And going off of that, I mean, for me personally, that's one of the things that I've always worked at.
You have. Yeah.
I haven't gone into reading stuff on the left with an open mind, but I want to know what my opponents think so that I can form my arguments against them.
But you will, right, watch MSNBC and you will watch CNN.
I used to listen to like NPR all the time in the morning.
Yeah.
Just because you got to know what they're saying.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, with my friend down there, it's to me, it's just a little sad. I mean, I love her to death, but I just hate to see this rabbit hole that Trump has put people down.
Yeah.
And the amount of hatred and dislike for this person is way off the charts.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's already been president for 4 years and somehow women aren't wearing, you know, burkas or what's the name of that show? The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
You know, the United States somehow averted a Handmaid's Tale, you know, scenario. And you would think that 4 years of that and you go, you know, I guess things didn't really.
But I'm going to interrupt because you were skeptical in 2016 if he would even govern conservatively.
I was not originally a Trump person.
You were not, because he didn't have a record.
He did not. He was a New York, you know, I'm thinking, I first thought he was doing it for his television ratings, right? He wanted to keep
even
his
though
name
he didn't have a
there.
Show anymore.
But... No, but he wants to keep the press and everything going. So it's to me, that was like, really? But I was wrong.
Yes. So, and now we.
Much like J.D. Vance. Yes. So, yeah.
You were wrong about J.D. Vance and that you didn't choose him.
Correct.
Not that you don't.
No, I was wrong. No, I was wrong with J.D. Vance because Vance was wrong about Trump, too.
Oh, that's what you meant. Okay. I wanted to clarify for the audience. Okay. Yeah. Because, J.D. Vance was not a fan of Trump's either.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. We got a little surprise here that she doesn't know anything about. You're welcome.
I do not like this, for the record, whether you're watching live or you're listening.
This is going to be fun.
This is truly a surprise. Oh, I have no idea. All he literally wrote in our script was Andrea surprise. And I like surprises if they're good surprises.
Okay. Well, I the reason I'm doing this is I think there's a lot of people out there that are in your shoes and I want to help them along.
Torn independence?
Okay. So
what do you mean by your shoes?
Your shoes. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
All right. So let me set this up. You would never in the past ever have thought about voting for Donald Trump. Am I correct?
You mean
go to 2016
and 20?
Yeah.
No, I didn't vote in the presidential election at all in 16 or 20 for either candidate.
All right. But you really could never had seen yourself voting for Trump. From what you've relayed to me that I've heard in the past, that it would be hell or high water.
Well, In 16, I again did not know his policies at all. He was an unknown. And I had previously been a Hillary. If you're going to do this to me, I get to elaborate. I had previously been a Hillary fan. Actually wrote her in 2008 because I thought she had more experience than Obama. And was very, very disappointed with her in 2016 for a number of reasons that we previously talked about. And so I abstained. And then in 2020, I felt like the Democratic Party had completely left me. I'm not the first person to say that. I feel like I'm left of central. So I'm one of those moderate people. And I just couldn't bring myself to vote for Biden or Trump. So you're okay. Right. No.
All right. So here's what I want to do. I want to go down a few issues that are current that really impact our lives.
Okay.
And very quickly, we're just going to hit them very quickly.
Okay.
And at the end of this, and you don't have to answer today, you can think about it, you can whatever, would you consider voting for Donald Trump after we get through this list? Now, first on the list is abortion. Now, let me just set this up. So Trump's already said repeatedly that he will not sign a national abortion ban.
Right.
Dozens of times he said it. SCOTUS Supreme Court's already ruled on it. It's right. A state's issue, right? Yeah. So let's take abortion off the table.
No, I disagree. If you're doing this to me, you should start with abortion.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No, you should start with it.
But don't you agree that Trump has already said, I will not sign a national abortion?
You can't ask it like that. You got to ask me what I think.
What do you think of Trump and abortion?
Thank you. Okay, if you're going to do a surprise, you can't set it up in such a way that you...
Oh, I'm asking the question, so I can set it up. But go ahead.
Okay. I think what people are missing about abortion and Trump and abortion... And let's not even talk about the Republican Party. We know the Republican Party, where they stand. I think what people miss about Trump is what you just said, that he won't sign a national abortion ban, that he does think there needs to be a limit, but he actually disagrees with some of the extreme limits, the 6-week, I think, in Florida and some others. And people seem to forget he used to be a Democrat. Like this guy used to be a Democrat. I mean, and so his politics and policies have changed. So I don't think that you should put abortion off the table because it is something I really care about, a woman's right to choose. And I'm going to just say for the record, I am not at all worried about Trump taking that away. Was I devastated when SCOTUS came down with the decision? I was devastated. But I don't think for a second Trump is going to change anything. I think it'll be status quo left to the states.
But wouldn't you agree that Trump can't change anything? You just can't do an executive order. The Supreme Court has already ruled that it belongs in the states.
Well,
correct?
No, I disagree with that because there's been too many executive orders over the last basically 3 or 4 administrations that have withstood up. So I think people are really scared about this.
Okay. All right. But in my opinion, Trump's already said, I'm not going to do it.
No, I know. And I believe him.
And the Supreme Court has made a very solid ruling on sending abortion back to the states. The Supreme Court really believes in stare decisis, meaning that previous rulings should have precedent. They
right.
just made this ruling 2 years ago.
I know.
They're not going to overturn themselves.
No, they're not.
No executive order on earth is going to change it.
No,
zero.
But I don't.
That would be in the Supreme Court like that.
But I don't think if you're going to surprise me like this, you should take abortion off the table when it's.
But I'm just saying
about.
It should be somewhat mitigated because of where we are, what Trump has said, what the Supreme Court has done.
Okay? Well, and also that. Try to remember what his previous policies and positions
right.
were. Trump has never been, no woman can get an abortion. He's never been like
right.
that.
Right. He always
never
believes
said
in
that.
The three exceptions. So.
Well, and he also believes up to, I believe, the first trimester
right.
too. But,
so,
but I mean, yeah.
So anyway, so my point is, it's not as red hot an issue with Supreme Court and everything else.
But it's the only issue Kamala has.
I know. Okay. But this is you.
All right, this is people like you.
All right. So let's move on with abortion very
okay.
quickly.
You didn't even do these in alphabetical order. Okay,
no, but
all right.
Actually, they were listed as priorities in terms of voters.
Abortion is number one?
No, I wanted to put that up there to get it out.
Oh. Okay, so starting from here going forward, this is the priorities according to voters.
Not some of them are messed up,
okay.
but they're pretty close.
Anyway, okay, all right.
But anyway, so border/immigration. Who would you say is stronger on the border and immigration?
Trump
or Biden? Trump.
That's easy.
All right. Crime.
I'm going to say Trump at the federal level, but again, when you look at crime, you have to look at who the talk about AGs, who the AGs are in the states and who's governing those states. So I'm going to say on, you know, federal level, Trump, but at the end of the day, you have to look at who you're electing locally.
Well, most of the crime that's reported are in the big cities, correct?
Yes, but
who rules the big cities?
Well,
Democrats or Republicans?
Mostly Democrats, but you asked me Trump versus Biden, okay. So I'm giving you the
answer. But you were breaking it down
I am. So I don't think that that's a good equivalent, but continue.
So Trump would have the advantage on crime.
Yes, but I don't think Trump can fix crimes in cities run by Democrats.
Okay. All right. But could it get worse if Biden or if Harris were elected?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. How about inflation?
Oh, Trump. That's easy. That's super easy.
All right. How about the foreign wars that are going on right now?
Trump would be much better because world leaders are intimidated by him. They think he's... They don't know what to expect. So absolutely.
Yes. When the U.S. president is weak, it forms a vacuum
in the world.
And it is filled by despots.
Yes.
Correct? Okay.
I don't like the surprise, by the way. All right. Okay, continue. You're welcome.
How about the trans agenda, if you will? Who would be, in with your personal values, who would be stronger in bringing forth your personal values with the whole trans thing?
I'm going to call this a draw because I don't know how much Trump has spoken on this. And Trump has, actually, I take that back. Trump has flip-flopped a little bit on transgender issues. And so I'm going to call that a draw. And I'm going to say neither.
So you think, but.
You? Oh, no.
Let me ask you this. Is your position that children should be giving...
That's not the question. You said Trump or Biden. I'm saying it's a draw, please.
I understand. Okay.
It's a draw.
Okay.
Thank you.
Draw for that one.
Thank you.
How about healthcare in general? Healthcare overall?
I'm going to say Trump because Kamala has said repeatedly she wants to get rid of private healthcare. She has said it would never be an option. So it's not just... Yeah. I have to give that to Trump.
Yeah, she just flippantly said, well, just give Medicare to everybody.
But even, she went deeper than that and talked about, yeah, we're going to get rid of all the payers, although I don't think she realizes how much power they have in Washington. But, I will give that to Trump. Not that I think he's a real pro in healthcare, but I don't think he's trying to destroy our system.
Okay, how about job creation?
Trump, that's easy.
Okay, all right. Free speech.
Trump, that's easy.
The size and scope of government. Or let me put it this way. Who wants a bigger government and who wants a smaller government?
Well, I mean, obviously, Harris and most Democrats want a bigger government, more government. I'm going to call this a draw, too. I would lean toward Trump, but he did not do as good of a job at eliminating unnecessary positions as he could have. Okay. Do I think he learned? I do. I do think he learned. So I would say leaning toward Trump, and I do personally, again, I'm more libertarian. I do prefer smaller government.
Okay. And the last thing is how about the climate?
So I'm going to say something that's going to make so many people mad on any of these issues, but I've said this to my family and friends. I don't care.
Well, you're in good company because it is last because on every chart that I was looking at, it's last on everybody's.
Yeah,
concern.
I don't care. There are more things that are more important to me. Do I think the earth is going to burn up in 100 years? Heck if I know, but I just, it's not important to me. This is definitely a policy I don't care about. I don't research on either side. So I don't care.
Well, thank you for that. So my point is the possibility of voting for Trump with people of your ilk, that of your mindset, is that on the table?
I will tell you what I told my friend that I was speaking about earlier at lunch yesterday, that I have not voted in an election. Gosh, I haven't voted for a major either party candidate since 2004. Like I said, 2008, I wrote in Hillary. In 2012, I just voted for the Libertarian. And after that, I gave up. I truly gave up. I did. However, this year, especially with this show, I felt like I really needed to register to vote. The voting place happens to be a block away from us, at a park where there's a local library branch. That's the voting place. So I have no excuses in terms of like getting there. And I really want to vote. I really want to vote.
You don't have to say who you're voting for, but I'm just asking you, is it a possibility with the things that you know from both candidates?
It's a possibility that I'll vote. I'll just say that. I will say this. Please tell me if you're anyone like me out there. There has to be other people like me. I just don't like voting for someone as a vote against someone. I really don't. I'm not a fan of, and that's, I think, the problem with people like your friend, if you don't mind me saying, she doesn't care who's on the ticket because it's a vote against Trump. It's not a vote for the person. And I want to be excited about the person. Now, I will say I am more interested and more engaged and more optimistic about Trump than in 2016 or 2020.
Okay, that's fair. Shall we move on?
Yes, thank God. Good God. Yes.
And where would you like to go?
All right. So we don't have it this week in wins, but we do have it this week in WTF. So hilarious, you guys. Oh my gosh. And we had to put the WTF because it's like, so Suki Hana says she's not no musician, but she makes music. So Bobby Althoff, I think I'm saying that right.
Althoff, yes.
Yeah. She's an American podcaster and influencer. So she's known for her viral interviews. And in an interview that went viral on TikTok, and only about a minute of unfortunately, she had to spend an hour with this person, hour long interview. So Bobby, host of the Really Good Podcast, interviews musician Suki Hana, who says she's not a musician, but she makes music. So, and we don't have a real good way to play the TikTok video for you. We will put it in the show notes, but the sound's not going to come through. So what we're going to do is reenact the 1 minute. And you're going to play the host, Bobby.
Okay.
And she's very dry, deadpan, matter of fact.
I can do that.
Yeah. And I'm going to play Suki, and I'm just going to read her words. I'm going to try to be as dry as possible as well. I'm not trying to offend anyone. Literally, this is a transcript of that 1 minute. So I'll start as Suki.
You're starting Suki. Okay.
What do you know?
That you're a musician. That's why I'm interviewing you today, so I can get to know you.
So I'm a musician? What the fuck that mean? Make magic or something? What is musician?
I think you're confusing that.
Yeah, I'm not no musician. I make music. That's not all I do. I make music. I act. I'm a TV star too. A young mogul. Time out. Just a side note. She's appeared in 2 reality TV shows, and that's not acting. Let's continue.
Shall we? Just really quick, I think you're confusing.
I'm not confusing nothing, because you don't know. You thought that all I was a magician or whatever the fuck you said.
See, that's what I think you think I said. I said musician, not magician.
Not what? I don't think. Baby, I don't think. What is that? That's ghetto. I don't think. I know.
I didn't say magician, Suki. I said musician. I think you are a musician.
No, baby. I do music.
So you just really, really quick for the record, could you say you don't think you're a musician?
I'm not into that.
But then after that, you just said, I do music.
Yeah, I do music.
So in other words, you're a musician.
No, I'm not.
And that was the clip.
That was the clip. That was the 1 minute clip. You're welcome. We'll put a link to the show notes. But what the fuck was that?
I fear for the youth of this world.
And you know, what's really interesting is this interviewer, Bobby, she's in her late 20s. Suki, I looked her up, this musician. You are a musician, darling. Maybe not a magician, but you're a musician. is, I think, in her early 30s, like 32. And, you know, so they're of the same generation, essentially. And all this interviewer was trying to do was to
just to clarify.
Clarify. Right. And I can't believe she had to spend an hour with this woman.
Yeah. To me, it just shows the the ignorance of what you think you know when you don't know anything. And if you just say it affirmatively, then it's got to be the truth.
Yeah, if you're very confident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just... Yes. You got to watch it.
You got to watch it.
Look it up and your jaw will just drop.
Well, we'll put the link in the show notes.
Yes.
So, all right.
Absolutely.
All right. So on to our favorite and original segment that we always do, This Week in Woke. Edward's going to introduce this one.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. From our friends at the Libs of TikTok.
Love them.
So this is actually a TikTok video and it's titled, Jess, who lost her race for a Missouri House seat, is mortified that a Trump supporter can be a doctor. Now, this was right after the assassination attempt, and I'm going to read it here, and then we're just going to break it down very quickly, because
okay,
there's some things in here that are just...
We have to break it down quickly. The show's running long.
We shall.
Okay.
She says, I was watching interviews from what happened in Pennsylvania a couple of days ago, and I saw an interview with an ER doctor who was trying to render aid to the man who was unalived during the rally. And I cannot get over the fact that there was an ER doctor wearing a MAGA hat and a Trump shirt. This guy working in any ER across the country that we would need to trust our daughters and granddaughters to if they were harmed. Someone who would need to give aid to someone who is gay and immigrant, someone who is trans. And I was mortified thinking about that, horrified. This guy's just not, you know, your run-of-the-mill Republican. He's a rabid Trump supporter. MAGA hat. It's really scary.
And that was a quote.
That was verbatim. Yes.
Can we talk about the word?
Yes. Please. Why don't you handle this one?
As a writer. Unalived is not a word.
Yes. What did she say? She said, trying to render aid to the man who was unalived during the rally.
Oh my God.
The man that was shot and killed.
He died.
Yes.
Okay.
There is no such word as unalive.
Yes, you could say who was dying, you know.
Yes.
You could even say who was dead, although the ER doctor was trying to save his life.
Yes.
I mean, yes, this is...
Well,
yes.
This kind of goes back.
Why is this a week of woke?
Well, this circles
instead
back
of the WTF.
to my conversation with my friend.
Okay.
Of what in the world is in these people's minds where they're concerned that an ER doctor... Wouldn't provide care to daughters, granddaughters, trans, gay, whatever people. Good Lord, come on.
Yeah, I agree. I work in healthcare, and one of the things I love about it the most is doctors do not talk politics. I don't know the politics of any of the doctors that I work with.
Yeah, you deal with a lot.
So. Yeah, it's wonderful, actually.
All right, so anyway, you are traveling a lot in October, right?
Yes.
Not an ideal time,
it's
right?
Not, but it's part of my job.
Now,
yes.
We will still have episodes that are going to be airing with guests, and they're going to be current. They're going to be topical. So it's not going to be just something that we did 3 or 4 years ago.
No. As topical as they can be when we record them a couple weeks in advance because things are going crazy. But yes, I'm traveling a lot. We both have day jobs. If you want to be a guest on the show, with the caveat to discuss issues in a civil manner, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on at all. But if you want to come on the show, discuss issues in a civil manner, we are looking to start bringing more guests on. Go to our website, myfavoriteconservative.show, and just fill out the contact form. It's right at the top of the navigation bar. You can't miss it. And we would love to hear from you.
Yeah, amen. That would be great.
So thank you so much for joining us live today. And please follow us on all social media platforms. I have been a bit behind because you were out, I was traveling, and then I've been sick for 4 weeks. So we're going to be caught up on social media. Please join us. We're not out of town next week, right? Like nobody is.
Well, we're going to be doing our show.
Oh, that's right.
From I think our toes are going to be in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes, that's right. We're going to be on vacation, but we're going to do a show next week. We may not be able to do it live. It'll be audio only.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. But most Sundays we are live at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern. And we stream live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And if you're listening to the podcast, which most people do the following Monday, the very next day, we just heard actually from our primary care physician. He listened to an episode and loved it. And I was like, dude, rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast, available wherever you're listening right now. You can also support our show. Please know this is a side gig. Please support our show by joining our locals community. We are building that up, and you will see a link for that in the show notes as well. And you can join locals totally for free and join our community for free. It's only if you want to support the community that you get more access and next level stuff. So learn more, follow us on myfavoriteconservative.show. Anything to add?
Thanks for being a good sport today.
Yeah. You're welcome. And guys, it really was a surprise. I really did not know what he was going to do. So thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.